Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Kildare meditation teacher, author and friend of the show, Conor Creighton, has written a new book about love. The truth about love, how to really fall in love with your life and everyone in it. And I'm so happy Conor is actually in studio. It's such a treat that we get people actually face to face now after so long of just having you on the phone. How are you, Conor?
I'm really, really good. Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm very happy to be here, Lottie.
Tell me, what is the truth about love?
My belief is the truth about love is that it is something that we generate. It's something that we create inside ourselves. It's a decision that we make to be loving rather than this feeling or this thing that we find. I think the common misconception is that love is something that we stumble upon. It's something that we find. It's something that comes to us from the outside. My belief from, I guess, many years of sort of working with people in this realm and doing lots of kind of my own spiritual journeys and having my own kind of demons to battle, is that the love, the sustainable love that we can experience is one that we generate with inside ourselves.
So how can you describe then when somebody meets somebody and something happens between them? You know, spark or that moment, is that something that I always thought that it was something the person had given me, but are you saying it's actually something my mind decided to do?
So when we're having a conversation here, Lottie, right, and we feel good about this conversation, you know, and we're having a conversation and you're seeing things in me and you're like, oh, I like that, and I'm seeing things in you and I like that. What we're doing is we're mirroring each other. Like, I'm reflecting back to you all the positive, incredible things that are in you. And the thing is that so often there's a disconnect where we don't recognize the positive, brilliant, unique, wonderful things in ourselves. And we only recognize them when somebody else comes along and shows us that we have these things.
Wow.
And I feel...
I never thought of it like that.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's so... it can be so difficult for us. Like, you're a very talented, creative person, right? And I say these things to you and it probably feels lovely.
But it also feels awkward.
Yeah.
Like, it's because,
and this is
you
the
don't...
disconnection.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we all have this, you know what I mean? Like, you can have me on the radio here this morning and be like, oh, Conor, you wrote this great book. And my initial response would be, I want to climb under the table.
Yeah.
Stop coming at me with these compliments.
Is that an Irish thing?
No, it's across the globe. It's how...
Okay.
Well, I don't know if it's across the globe. That's a very grand statement for me to make, having not been across the globe.
But it would seem it's something that's inherently in people.
Yeah, I think it's so much to do with our programming. It's so much to do with our... When I say programming, I mean like the lessons that we learn when we're kids. You know, like we're often told, you know, to sort of play a little bit smaller. You know, we come into families and immediately we realize, oh, I have responsibility for my parents, or we get told certain things like, oh, it's shameful to have a dream like that, or, you know, to be really expressive sometimes isn't always safe. You know, especially like, I don't know, I can only really talk about the kind of the growth of a young male, but, you know, we go to school and sort of immediately you realize, oh, if I'm really who I want to be, I'm going to get humiliated. I'm going to probably experience like bullying and so on and so forth.
This is something you talk about in the book. You talk about your teenage years and the challenges that you came across. So can you talk a bit about that for me?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I don't feel what I experienced was particularly unique, but sort of grew up in a place where, say, I was very sensitive. I mean, still am sensitive. And... So be careful what you say.
So am I, so it's okay, yeah. I'm used to it.
Do you know, but was sensitive and didn't always feel like I fitted in and kind of suffered as a result. You know, it felt very like lonely, felt very isolated growing up. I had a bit of a chaotic family life too, which then kind of fed into like having chaotic relationships all throughout my 20s and 30s. So it's sort of so much of it was just the kind of the initial spark, the initial energy of childhood then kind of continued through the rest of my adult life. And I think that's how it is for most of us.
So how can we deal with that?
Well, I think, I mean, and this is sort of where all the experience and everything I write about is just from having conversations with people like you, you know? And so I work, like, I do one-on-ones with people all the time. I teach meditation. So we explore the habit pattern of their minds, you know? And when meditation is just a tool for kind of exploring what is going on in your mind, like why you act certain ways. And one of the things you recognize when you start to explore your mind is that it's a bit of a shit show up there. You know, it's just, it's a kind of a swamp of negativity and criticism. And none of this is your own. It's just stuff that you have picked up along the way. A parent said something to you, a teacher said something to you, someone in the school said something to you. And because children are sponges, they believe this. So it's not so much that we don't love ourselves. We're kind of afraid to, because there's so much of this negativity there. So part of the work of learning to love yourself is separating who you are from all the negativity in your head.
That's so difficult. I tried meditating, really tried. And I just found I couldn't turn my brain off. And then I found the meditating was actually causing more stress and anxiety because I was just listening to the thoughts.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. It's not so much about turning your brain off. You can't do that until we die, really. But it's about recognizing, this is Lottie. And this is just my programming. This is my conditioning. So a simple rule of thumb. Anything positive and loving that comes from you is your true self. Anything negative, anything critical, anything limiting, all the shame, all the guilt is your conditioning and your guilt. Or sorry, your conditioning and the programming that you've picked up along the way. So if you know the kind of, if you can kind of just separate those two, and of course, this is a life's work. Like you talk about how meditation is really hard. Like it's still really hard for me and this is all I do. Do you know what I mean? But it's about it's just this process of constantly remembering and then forgetting that you are not your thoughts.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. I have to ask you about the three engagements. It's kind of a stick out moment in the book.
Yeah.
What was happening?
Well, this is the interesting thing. It's like when you don't have any love for yourself, you will find it. You will hunt for it everywhere.
Is that really what it was?
Yeah. And I think this is the case with most people that we are. If you can't come to this place of just being, I'm happy in my own skin. If you cannot generate like affection and attention inside yourself for yourself, like I'm sure you can recognize this sense of like, it's never enough. Right. Mm. And we all have that. So the shortcut, the escape from this it's never enough mentality is to find somebody who tells you, oh, you're great. You're great. You're great. It's why we turn into superstars and stuff. Do you know? It's why people end up like
craving attention.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And it's part of the role of social media at the moment, I think.
Totally. Totally.
Which is so dangerous for young people because they're getting it from that place.
Yes.
And then they don't seek it elsewhere and they don't find it in themselves.
Yeah. And so social media is very much, and social media addiction is very much a symptom of the kind of the anti-love structures that we have in our society.
But how can people deal with that? Because I feel like I look at, you know, young teenagers and I think it's almost embedded in the way they grow up. So to not be involved in it, you can't not be involved in social media.
True, but I think you can be involved in it from a healthy place.
How?
So, and this is very much about kind of, this is very much about teaching kids from the youngest of ages. Like even like Lottie, the conversation we're having now, and to say to yourself, I love myself, will probably make you cringe a little bit, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Right? So that's something that needs to change. Because you know what I mean? If you had children, I don't know if you have children or...
I have a baby.
Yeah. You would love your baby to love themselves, wouldn't you?
Oh my God, oh, like 1,000,000%.
Right, because when you love yourself, you make great decisions for yourself. You have boundaries. You take care of yourself. You go to the doctor when you feel sick. When you're tired, you go to bed. This is what that is. But when we have this programming and this conditioning that it's never enough, I'm never enough, I can't love myself, I have to deprioritize myself, we lead these incredibly unhealthy lives, which I certainly did. I mean, my book is basically like a chronicle of how messy my life was.
Really? I just don't take you as a messy life person.
Well, I'd love to think that's like a tribute to the work. Do you know what I mean?
When you say messy, what do you mean?
Well, just like kind of... like I felt like there was a big, big empty hole at the pit of me that always needed to be filled with some sort of compliment or some sort of attention. And I mean, there's still, to a certain extent, there's a little bit of that there. Like, you know, here I am on a radio show. Do you know what I mean? But
did you know that's what it was when you were growing up?
I felt that I was just very different from everybody else. And again, this is so much of our conditioning will kind of creep into our heads and make you feel like what you're doing is very wrong and what you're doing is shameful. And I mean, I felt, so for example, whenever like a relationship of mine would fall apart, as they often did, I would immediately think like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? Why am I not like other people? And would feel very, very shameful about that. But of course they were going to fall apart if I couldn't really generate self-love. Do you know what I mean? Because you just go into a relationship looking to kind of consume another person.
It's so interesting because there are so many, I know so many of my friends, female friends, who are constantly on Tinder or swiping and looking for the next guy and looking for the next girl. And when it doesn't work out, they're immediately on to the next one, and then that doesn't work and they're straight on to the next one. But now I'm wondering, would it be better for them to just sit back and be at peace with just being with themselves for a moment?
Just, you can be so good in relationship when you are good alone. Like, if you can be at peace on your own, and this is where the work is, because a lot of kind of, like, the reason meditation is so hard, Lottie, is because you were kind of forced to be radically alone with just all your dark, banal, meandering thoughts.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, holy hell, get me out of here.
Yeah.
Right? And like, there's a lovely expression that our mind is kind of like a bad neighborhood that you certainly don't want to go into on your own.
It's so true.
Right? So this learning, like, this is where I think the most loving thing we can do for ourselves is practice being alone. And what that means is you're just totally accepting who you are. I'm Lottie. Connor, my head is a dumpster fire. I'm full of all this negativity, but I'm accepting it and I'm allowing it, and I'm not going to continue fighting against myself.
So do you believe that people can learn to love themselves better by meditating? Is that the best way to do it?
Totally. Well, I mean, it's certainly our way to do it, and it's the way that I've found. So meditation, if you can imagine, is just a technique that allows you to become much more sensitive to your experience of the world. We spend so much of our time on autopilot. You know, we wake up in the morning, alarm, coffee, work. And
sometimes
we don't really know what we're doing.
Sometimes I find I get into the car and then suddenly I'm in work. And I'm like, I don't even remember the car journey.
Yeah. And this is the danger of the modern world, is that we are just not present with our experience of the world. So meditation is this way of becoming more and more present. It's training yourself to just be aware. Ah, I am here. My body is breathing. My feet are on the floor. I can feel the temperature in the room. And through this sensitivity, you begin to realize all the times in the day when you are not being loving towards yourself. Mm. You know, like, Lottie, maybe you'll get a call later and someone will be like, can we go for a coffee later? You're exhausted. All you want to do is sit in the back garden. But you say yes. You know, so in that moment, there's a moment where you have deprioritized yourself again. Or even something will happen where somebody will kind of cross a boundary with you and you'll just kind of smile.
And accept it.
And accept it. Mm. And in all those moments, there's like a tiny little kind of paper cut, an emotional paper cut is happening inside of you where you're just like, oh, I just betrayed myself again. So meditation is a way of just becoming sensitive to all these moments when you are not being loving towards yourself.
And creating boundaries.
Yeah, because then you can recognize, oh, Lottie just said something that I didn't like there. I'm going to say, oh, hey, I didn't like that. You know, or instead of just smiling and, and getting along with it, even though inside I'm kind of dying a bit.
So what's the one thing you would love people to take from the book? One lesson.
To not be ashamed of what they want.
Oh, that's really good.
Like you, the things that you want, the things that you need, the things that would fill your soul, so to speak, are yours and they're precious and they're not shameful. And I think that's probably enough.
I think that's amazing if people could do that, because I think people are embarrassed to say what the things they want are.
Yeah.
Fear of judgment.
Totally.
Fear of not actually achieving the things and being seen as a failure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think to be able to just openly admit it, and you know, then you generate it towards you then, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is, like, when you really get to know anybody on this planet, we are all incredible. We are all phenomenal, and we're all doing like a wonderfully good job in extremely chaotic, adverse circumstances. And that's reason enough to love people, right? Oh. And totally to love yourself, right?
Yes. Connor, I could like literally listen to you talk all day.
Oof, I could talk all day too. Be careful.
Instead, I will read the book. Connor Creighton, Kildare, meditation teacher and author. The book is The Truth About Love. It's published by Gill Books.
Yeah.
It's out now.
Today.
Today.
Mm-hmm. If anyone wants to come to the launch this evening, it's in Atelier Now, which is Mazer's studio in Charlemont Square, and that's at 6:37 this evening.
Oh, listen, I highly recommend going and listening, even to hear you talk. I just think I automatically feel calmer for some reason.
Yeah, well, you did that.
Oh, please stay. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.